Welcome to GCSE Business Revision, your go-to podcast for exam success. I'm your tutor, and today we're diving into one of the most important topics in your business course, organizational structures and different ways of working. Whether you're sitting AQA, EdExcel, OCR, or any other board, this topic comes up time and again, and it's one where you can really rack up the marks if you know your stuff. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get into it. By the end of this episode, you'll be able to define and compare tall and flat organizational structures, explain key terms like span of control, chain of command, delegation and authority, discuss why businesses choose different structures, and evaluate the various ways of working for both employers and employees. That's a lot of ground to cover, so let's get started. Section 1, what is an organizational structure? Every business, whether it's a small corner shop or a massive multinational like Amazon, needs a way of organizing its people. An organizational structure is the system that defines how activities, roles, and responsibilities are directed and coordinated within a business. Think of it as the skeleton of the business. It holds everything together and determines how information flows from the top to the bottom and back again. Businesses represent their structure visually using an organization chart, sometimes called an org chart. This is a diagram that shows the hierarchy of roles within the business, who reports to whom, and how many people each manager is responsible for. Now, there are two main types of organizational structure you need to know for your exam: tall structures and flat structures. Let's look at each one in detail. Section 2, tall organizational structures. A tall organizational structure, sometimes called a hierarchical structure, has many levels of management. Imagine a pyramid with lots of layers. At the very top, you might have the chief executive officer or CEO. Below them are directors, then senior managers, then supervisors, and finally the employees at the bottom. That's potentially 5 or 6 levels of hierarchy. Because there are so many layers, each manager only looks after a small number of people. This is called a narrow span of control. For example, a manager in a tall structure might only be responsible for 3 or 4 subordinates. That's the people who report directly to them. The chain of command, the path that information travels from the top of the hierarchy to the bottom, is long in a tall structure. This means that a decision made by the CEO has to pass through many layers before it reaches the employees on the shop floor. What are the advantages of a tall structure? Well, there's close supervision because managers have fewer people to look after. There are clear lines of authority, so everyone knows who their boss is and who to report to. There are also more opportunities for promotion, which can motivate staff. But there are disadvantages too. Communication can be slow because messages have to pass through so many layers. There's a risk that information gets distorted as it travels down the chain. It can also be expensive because you're paying the salaries of many layers of management. And decision-making can be slow because decisions often have to be approved at multiple levels. Section 3, flat organizational structures. A flat organizational structure has far fewer levels of management. Instead of that tall pyramid, imagine a wide, shallow shape. At the top, you might have the CEO, and then just 1 or 2 layers before you reach the employees. Because there are fewer layers, each manager is responsible for a larger number of people. This is a wide span of control. A manager in a flat structure might oversee 10, 15, or even 20 employees. The chain of command is short in a flat structure, meaning information travels quickly from the top to the bottom of the business. The advantages of a flat structure include faster communication, fewer layers means messages get through more quickly. Decision-making is faster, too, because there are fewer people who need to approve decisions. It can be cheaper because there are fewer managers to pay, and employees often feel more empowered and trusted, which can boost motivation. The disadvantages? Managers can become overloaded because they're responsible for so many people. With a wide span of control, it can be harder to give each employee the attention and supervision they need. And there are fewer opportunities for promotion, which might demotivate ambitious staff. Section 4, key terminology, you must know these. Now let's nail the key terms. These come up constantly in exam questions, and you need to be able to define them accurately and use them in context. Span of control, the number of subordinates that a manager is directly responsible for. A narrow span means few subordinates. A wide span means many. Chain of command, the line of authority and responsibility along which instructions are passed within an organization, from the top of the hierarchy down to the bottom. Delegation, The process by which a manager passes authority and responsibility for a task down to a subordinate. Importantly, the manager retains overall accountability for the outcome. Authority. The power or right to give orders, make decisions, and enforce obedience within a defined area of responsibility. Subordinates. Employees who are below a manager in the hierarchy and report to them. The system of ranking and organizing people in an organization, with those having more authority at the top and those with less at the bottom. Here's a memory hook for you. To remember the key terms, think of the phrase, super clever dogs always sit happily. That stands for span of control, chain of command, delegation, authority, subordinates, hierarchy. Say it a few times and you'll have all six terms locked in. Section 5. Why do businesses choose different structures? This is a really important question for your exam. Businesses don't just pick a structure at random. They choose one that suits their size, their goals, and their way of working. Large businesses with thousands of employees often use tall structures because they need clear lines of authority and close supervision across many departments. A large bank like Barclays, for example, has multiple layers of management to ensure that thousands of employees across hundreds of branches are properly managed and that decisions are made consistently. Smaller businesses, or those that want to be more agile and responsive, often prefer flat structures. A tech startup, for instance, might have just a CEO and a team of developers, no middle management at all. This allows them to make decisions quickly and respond to changes in the market. Businesses may also change their structure over time. A process called delayering involves removing one or more layers of management from a tall structure to make it flatter. This can reduce costs and speed up communication, but it can also cause redundancies, job losses, and increase the workload on remaining managers. Section 6, ways of working. Now let's move on to the second major part of this topic, the different ways of working. Businesses have a range of options when it comes to how they employ and deploy their workforce, and each has advantages and disadvantages for both the employer and the employee. Full-time working. This is the traditional model where an employee works the full contracted hours, typically around 35 to 40 hours per week. For the employer, full-time workers provide reliability and consistency. For the employee, it means a stable, regular income and job security. However, it can be inflexible and may not suit people with caring responsibilities or other commitments. Part-time working. Part-time employees work fewer hours than full-time workers, perhaps 15 to 25 hours per week. For the employer, this is useful for covering busy periods without paying for a full-time worker. For the employee, it offers flexibility to balance work with other commitments like childcare or study. The downside for the employee is lower total earnings and sometimes fewer benefits. Flexible working. This covers a range of arrangements where employees have some control over when, where, or how many hours they work. Examples include flexitime, where employees can choose their start and finish times within certain limits, compressed hours, and job sharing. For the employer, flexible working can boost productivity and reduce absenteeism. For the employee, it improves work-life balance. Many businesses found during and after the pandemic that flexible working arrangements were highly effective. Temporary work. Temporary workers are employed for a fixed period of time, perhaps to cover a busy Christmas period in retail, or to complete a specific project. For the employer, this provides flexibility to scale the workforce up or down as needed without long-term commitments. For the employee, it can provide valuable experience and income, but it comes with job insecurity. Working from home, also known as remote working or home working, this is where an employee carries out their work from their own home rather than traveling to a workplace. For the employer, it can reduce office costs and lower absenteeism. For the employee, it saves commuting time and costs and can improve work-life balance. However, it can lead to feelings of isolation and make collaboration more difficult. Working whilst mobile, some employees don't have a fixed workplace at all. They work on the move. Think of a sales representative visiting clients, a delivery driver, or a consultant traveling between sites. Technology like smartphones, laptops, and cloud-based software makes this possible. For the employer, it allows workers to be productive wherever they are. For the employee, it offers variety, but can blur the boundaries between work and personal life. Self-employment. A self-employed person works for themselves rather than for an employer. They might be a sole trader running their own business, or a freelancer offering specialist services to multiple clients. For the employer, or in this case, the business hiring their services, self-employed contractors can bring specialist skills without the costs and obligations of permanent employment. For the individual, self-employment offers independence and the potential for higher earnings, but it also means no guaranteed income, no employment rights like sick pay, and the responsibility of managing your own taxes. Section 7, exam tips and common mistakes. Right, let's talk about how to pick up maximum marks in the exam. These are the mistakes I see candidates make, time and time again. Don't be one of them. Mistake number one, confusing span of control with chain of command. Remember, span of control is about width, height, how many people report to one manager. Chain of command is about length, how many levels information travels through. Examiners will not credit you if you mix these up. Mistake number two, giving one-sided answers on evaluation questions. If the question asks you to evaluate whether a business should adopt a flat structure, you must discuss both advantages and disadvantages before reaching a justified conclusion. Candidates who only list advantages will be capped at a lower mark level. Mistake number three, not applying your answer to the context. If the question gives you a scenario, say a growing retail chain, you must refer back to that business in your answer. Generic answers that could apply to any business score fewer marks than answers that are specifically applied to the given context. Mistake number four, forgetting to consider both employer and employee perspectives when discussing ways of working. Examiners want to see that you understand the impact on both sides. Top tip for command words. If the question says explain, you need to give a reason and develop it. Show the consequence. If it says analyze, go further and explore the implications. If it says evaluate or justify, you must weigh up the evidence and reach a clear, supported conclusion. For a 6-mark explain question, aim for 2 well-developed points. For a 9 or 12-mark evaluation question, aim for a balanced argument with a clear conclusion. Section 8, quickfire recall quiz. Time to test yourself? I'll ask a question, pause, and then give you the answer. Cover your notes if you can. Question 1. What is the span of control? The span of control is the number of subordinates that a manager is directly responsible for. Question 2. What is the difference between a tall and a flat organizational structure? A tall structure has many levels of management and a narrow span of control. A flat structure has fewer levels and a wide span of control. Question 3. What is delegation? Delegation is when a manager passes authority and responsibility for a task to a subordinate while retaining overall accountability. Question 4. Give 2 advantages of flexible working for an employee: better work-life balance and reduced commuting time and costs. Question 5. Give 1 disadvantage of a wide span of control for a manager. The manager may become overloaded and find it difficult to supervise all their subordinates effectively. How did you do? If you struggled with any of those, go back and review that section before your exam. Section 9, summary and sign-off. Let's bring it all together. Today, we've covered the 2 main types of organizational structure, tall and flat, and the key terminology, span of control, chain of command, delegation, authority, subordinates, and hierarchy. We've explored why businesses choose different structures based on their size and goals. And we've looked at 7 different ways of working: full-time, part-time, flexible, temporary, working from home, mobile working, and self-employment, considering the advantages and disadvantages for both employers and employees. The most important thing to remember going into your exam is this. Always apply your knowledge to the specific business context in the question. Always consider both sides of an argument in evaluation questions, and always use precise business terminology. Examiners reward candidates who can use terms like span of control and chain of command accurately and confidently. You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing past papers, and remember, every mark counts. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode.